As Nicholas pines away for the mysterious young lady, his secret love, little does he know that his friend Smike harbours a similar secret. Today, Mrs. Nickleby has sent Smike out on yet another errand.
Oh, my, just look at that. I wish I had enough money to buy that necklace for Kate. She would look even more pretty wearing those jewels around her neck.
Smike stops to daydream for a while.
I wish I could tell her how I care for her. I wish she would want to hear such things from someone like me.
Smike tears himself away from the jeweller's shop window, runs for a little while, then stops again, then runs again, then stops and gazes again, and so on, as any other country lad might do, when...
Got you! I've got you now!
Help!
I shall not lose you again.
Mr. Squeers, for it is he, takes an even firmer grip on poor Smike's throat.
Dad, help me! Help me!
Stop your noise or I'll rip your tongue out, you animal!
Stop your vile wriggling. I've only had you 2 minutes and you're costing me coach money on account of all this. Well, I shall beat it out of you later.
Stop, leave me alone.
Not until we're even.
No.
That's for running away. That's for joining in bloodthirsty attacks upon your master. And that's for everything.
Stop, let me go. I must go home.
To be sure, you must go home. You'll go home very soon to Doomsaboy's Hall in Yorkshire, where I'll make up for the 6 months of beating you have missed. Hey, where's the clothes you run off in, you ungrateful robber?
I don't know. Gone.
Gone? Do you know that Wellington boot you walk off 8 and 20 shillings when it was a pair? And the shoes, 7 and 6. That's a hanging matter, that is.
No!
I never thrashed a boy in a hackney carriage before. There's inconveniency in it, but the novelty gives it a sort of relish.
No! No!
Mr. Squeers rises to the challenge of issuing a beating in a confined space, all the way back to his lodgings.
Get out, vagrant felon, rebel, monster of unfaithfulness. Have you been living with that there devilish Nickleby? Have you, Answer me, idiot!
You can feed me all you like.
Thank you kindly, I will.
But I will tell you nothing of Nicholas. I would rather perish than say one word against my first and only friend.
Oh, you would you? Then you shall! Lord, let me out from beating you, you wretch. Get inside. And don't think about running away again, for I shall look you in. And when I've got my breath back, you can look forward to another beating.
How the poor creature's heart sinks within him as he is locked in the cold, dark room. He lies down, shivering, bruised and battered. Once again, the same hopeless, blighted creature that Nicholas first found at the Yorkshire school. Once again in the hands of the same cruel, sadistic master.
My knuckles are quite black and blue from beating him. I shall beat him for that later.
The night is fraught with misery for poor Smike, and fraught with anxiety for the Nicklebys, who have no idea what's happened, and can only fear the worst. But slowly the dark night gives way to a bright and cloudless summer morning. A North Country mail clatters to a halt at the Saracen's Head. A burly, honest-looking countryman steps down from the box.
Well, dang my bootins!
It is John Browdie with his new wife, Tilda Browdie, the former Miss Price, and their bad-tempered bridesmaid, Miss Squeers, the former Miss Squeers.
Well, dang my bootins! If Fanny bairn't asleep again.
She's been asleep for the whole journey, except for a moment now and then. And I was very sorry when she did wake, for she was so cross and ill-mannered.
Fanny! Come, waken up, Willie!
Slowly, the figure struggles to a sitting posture, and there, under a brown beaver bonnet, which has been crushed and flattened for 250 miles, there are the delicate features of Miss Fanny Squeers.
Oh, Tilda, how you have been kicking me through this blessed night.
What do you mean? You've had nearly the whole courts to yourself.
Tilda, I haven't closed my eyes for a single wink the whole journey, so I think I am to be believed.
Miss Squeers adjusts her bonnet and descends from the coach.
Come now, Miss Fanny. I've only been a married man 4 days, and if a man don't enjoy himself now, we're naughty, eh?
In order to lose no time in enjoying himself, Mr. Browdie gives his wife a hearty kiss. And succeeds in wresting another from Miss Squeers after a maidenly resistance of scratching and struggling on her part. Then the happy little wedding party retire to a substantial breakfast spread by direction of John Browdie.
Horned up another pigeon pie, will he? Oh, dang the chap. Did he call this a pie? 3 young pigeons and a trifling matter of steak?
As John Browdie turns his attentions to the ham and the cold roast beef and another pigeon pie, the waiter returns with Mr. Squeers and his hopeful son.
Come in. All are welcome here, even you.
Oh, I heard you arrive this morning, but I've been a busy man. Indeed, I have.
Well, come on, then. Join us now. We're having a merry old wedding party, and no mistake.
Yes, Pa. Tilda has got herself married at last.
Aye, she has. And she's made me the happiest man alive.
Oh, please don't try and kiss me again, Mr. Browdie.
Oh, I won't go into. No. Not while I'm at table.
So, it's your turn to be married now, eh, Fanny? You must make haste.
Oh, I'm in no hurry, Pa.
No, Fanny?
No, Tilda. I can wait.
So can the young men, it seems, Fanny.
The sarcastic tone of this reply might provoke a rather acrimonious retort from Miss Squeers, were it not for the fact that Mr. Squeers is about to change the topic of conversation for us.
Now, who do you suppose I've laid my hands on?
Not Mr. Nickleby.
No, but the next best thing.
You can't mean... the boy...
Smike?
Yes, Smike. I've got the bony little wretch hard and fast.
What? And where'd you keep him?
In my quarters at the back of the inn. With him on one side of the door and the key on the other. I shall take him back tomorrow, so it's lucky you came today. Or you'd have missed me.
Shall we not see you again, Mr. Squeers?
Oh, no. Not unless you come to visit us tonight.
Don't say another word. We accept your kind invitation, and we shall be sure to come tonight.
Come if you must. After supper.
No, no. We'll supper with you.
What? All of you?
Aye. And make sure it's a proper spread.
Mr. Squeers, appalled at the thought of the expense, goes to take his frustrations out on Smike. Mr. Browdie, meanwhile, spends the rest of the day in a very odd, excitable state, sometimes bursting into an explosion of laughter, sometimes snapping his fingers and dancing scraps of uncouth country dances, and in short, conducting himself in a very extraordinary manner.
Tilda, I'm sorry to inform you that your new husband is quite mad and insane.
Oh.
Perhaps it is being married to you that has done for him.
I don't think so, Fanny, though I thank you for your concern. No, I have seen John out like this once, before we were married.
Indeed. Then I'm sorry to inform you that you have married a lunatic.
He shall be better tomorrow, I guarantee that. He may have one of his dizzy spells later, and then it is best to let him sleep it off. But after that, he shall be quite recovered.
I'm not so sure.
But Tilda Browdie proves to be perfectly correct, and that evening, at supper with Mr. Squeers, John Browdie is seized with a most alarming dizziness in his head.
Oh, the room's going round.
Oh,
slow down. Oh, now it tumbles upside down.
Oh, John!
Fanny,
You look like you're sitting on your head and talking with your...
John! Shh! I think you should lie down.
What's the matter with him? Is he mad?
Yes. No, he's just poorly. Mr. Squeers, would you mind if you lay down on your bed a while?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Oh, it's going faster, faster and faster. Funny, you look like you have two heads. But Mr. Squeers, you look like you have two eyes. And now there are two Mr. Squeers. Three, four, five, a room full of Mr. Squeers. Oh, I feel sick. And get him.
All right, all right, all right. Put him in my bed.
Oh, thank you kindly.
Accordingly, John Browdie is installed in Mr. Squeers' bed.
How is he now?
Oh, why, he's fallen fast asleep and looks ever so much better. Thank you, Mr. Squeers.
Mrs. Browdie blushes slightly as she says this. Fanny assumes Tilda to be ashamed of her husband's extraordinary behaviour. But the truth of the matter is, Mrs. Browdie is not telling the truth of the matter, for upstairs...
Smike. It's me. Does he not remember me?
Mr. Browdie is within Smike's room, his large hand covering Smike's mouth.
It's John Browdie. I'm the chap you met after schoolmaster were thrashed by Nicholas. Dost thou mind? Eh? Oh, dear me.
And John removes his hand.
I remember. Good man. Now keep quiet and don't speak a morsel or move a finger till I tell you to.
John Browdie draws a screwdriver from his pocket. Takes the box off the lock in a deliberate manner.
See that? That be thy doing. Now, off you go. Off you go. Run away. Do you know where you live?
Yeah, with Nicholas.
Good man. Now, follow me. Come, down here.
But Mr. Squeers is
all
here.
Right. Don't be afeard. Off you go, boy. Run that way, and I won't see you pass.
But when he finds out, he'll come after me.
Aye, but do not worry. I'll put him on the wrong scent. You'll be home afore he knows that he's gotten off. Run now, quick as you can.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Don't talk, man. Run.
Smike needs no second bidding. He speeds away like the wind. John Browdie stands guard for a full hour, then climbs the stairs, gets into Mr. Squeers' bed once more, draws the clothes over his head, and laughs until he is nearly smothered. He is still laughing when, in another part of the city of London...
Nicholas, it's me, Smike. I've come home.